You know, I take a day off from Locked On Grizzlies, right? And I think I'm going to be able to step away, catch my breath, not have to yell at anyone or get fired up on a Friday when I come back. And then what does Adam Silver have to do? He needs to go out there and remind us all, for better or worse, he sure as heck is not David Stern. And right now, David Stern is rolling over his grave in his grave, looking down, looking up, whatever direction you believe David Stern might be right now. He is furious at Adam Silver. We're going to talk about that and more on this episode of Locked On Grizzlies. Let's lock in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
No, yo, you're not dead. You're not in heaven. You're not in hell. You're here with us at Locked On Grizzlies. Although I like to think we have a little slice of heaven in our little portion of the internet. I am Joe Mullinax, one of your hosts of Locked On Grizzlies, joined by my co-host, Michael Cole, of the Commercial Appeal there in Memphis, Tennessee. He's the Grizzlies beat writer for that publication. I, of course, of Bluff City Media, as well as SB Nation, a contributor there. Thank you so much for choosing to make us a part of your Friday podcast experience. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts as proud members of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team each and every day. Check us out on YouTube, like, comment, rate, review, subscribe, all those fun things. This episode of Locked On Grizzlies is brought to you by Bird Dogs, Michael's favorite. Go to birddogs.com/LockedOnNBA. And when you enter the promo code LockedOnNBA, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. So, Michael, you did a great job with Howard Beck. Shout out to you. What up, Beck? A really good show. I enjoyed it. And, you know, I was really excited to just kind of have fun on a Friday. For those of you that are watching on YouTube, right? We've got our rundown there. It's the end of my school year here in Virginia. I'm a teacher and a football coach in Virginia, for those of you that didn't know. I've won the teacher superlative for most likely to have a podcast, which is a little too on the nose. there's some inside. That was an inside job. Somebody knew something up in Deep Run High School. But anyway, and then I see Adam Silver on television once again before the NBA Finals, and he is running his mouth about the Ja Morant suspension. Now, in fairness, and we'll talk a little bit about this, I'm sure, it actually, if you listen to the content of what he said,
it's good stuff.
Made it sound good for Ja Morant for it's a variety of reasons, yeah. Right? Good things. I know Anthony Sain has talked about the idea of it not being just a punishment, trying to help Ja. I know you've talked about that a little bit as well, yeah. DeMichael. Yeah, you know, as an educator in my day job, I see that making a lot of sense. So I'm not mad at the content of what he says. I'm mad at saying we're not going to talk about Ja's suspension and then literally doing it every time he's on television. And then Matt Moore, friend of mine for a long time here at HP Basketball, yeah. Action Network, all sorts of great stuff. He literally has a grizzly bear as his avatar on Twitter. Matt says, when a broadcast partner asks you a question, you have to answer it. Mm-hmm. Matt knows more about basketball media than I ever will. So I'll tip my cap. I don't fully agree with that, but Matt would be in a better position to know if that is indeed true. Then I'm working this morning and I check Twitter as I do. I go to DeMichael C on Twitter as I do literally every morning. That's not hyperbole. It's true, to see what DeMichael's written for the day. And I see DeMichael's article about Adam Silver's appearance on the Dan Patrick Show. Now, last I checked, DeMichael, the Dan Patrick Show was not affiliated with the NBA Finals.
It's not
ABC, it's not. Disney Plus, Hulu, has live sports.
None of that.
None of those things. None of those things. And there's Adam Silver running his mouth about Ja Morant's suspension. Again, the content of what's being said, I don't have an issue. I'm actually cool with the idea of, yeah, Ja needs to be punished, 15 to 20 games. I support that.
Yeah.
And with it, coming along numerous steps that he has to take to show that he is serious about trying to improve himself through this process. Awesome. What I have an issue with is the continued distraction. If I were the Denver Nuggets, or if I were the Miami Heat, Nikola Jokic is putting on a finals performance for the ages, literally historic stuff. And we're talking about Ja Morant, obviously Locked On Grizzlies, we're talking about Ja Morant, but why on national television, on a national radio show,
right
is
after.
That the conversation?
You right said after he said this wasn't going to be the case.
Right. He's doing the opposite of what he said he was going to do. And that is where Adam Silver is not David Stern. Because David Stern, for all his transgressions, and he had several, we would need a 3-hour episode of Locked On Grizzlies to talk about the bad things that David Stern did. He was a disciplinarian, and sorry to use harsh letters, you didn't F around in David Stern's NBA, right? Like, that was not something that happened. Not allowed. This kind of stuff didn't occur. And when it did, if it did, there were serious consequences. Now, you can talk about Michael Jordan's gambling and all the conspiracy theories, all that sort of stuff. But by and large, David Stern was known as the Iron Fist, right? Adam Silver's not that. And I think that this situation, not because of the content, again, this is a good example of him not being David Stern in terms of what it sounds like might be coming down the pike for Ja in terms of his discipline, an actual learning experience. But he is doing the exact opposite of what he said he was going to do, and that is where the Stern difference is. Stern would have been more Stern, pun intended, saying, okay, we're not talking about this till after the finals, and it wouldn't have been brought up again. Here's Adam Silver having very poor PR people in place or just making poor choices. Either make the announcement or don't, but stop dragging it along like this, because you say you don't want it to be a distraction, and yet here we are.
Yeah, and it's definitely become that. And you know who's upset probably more than anybody? It's the players union.
Oh, absolutely.
Because this was the conversation, right? When people learned that Adam Silver, because in one of his other earlier press runs, he said that the players union was kind of having conversations with him about the fact that a Ja Morant decision shouldn't come until after the NBA finals. So he kind of wanted to hold off on that. Well, now we've seen him speak on NBA TV with Shaq and the crew. We've seen him speak ahead of game one. Now we see him speak before game three. Dan Patrick show, like, that's four off the top of my head. Maybe I'm missing one, but that's four. It's almost like he's about to release an album or something, right? Like, he's going on a press run. Like, he's on
doing a press junket.
He's in New York City, and he's in, you know, L.A., and he's going all over the place, all the biggest radio shows in the country. Like,
Adam Silver and Drake, they're about to go on tour together.
He's about to go on tour, right? But it's like, okay, I get, you know, bringing the attention to the game. You know, this finals, there was, you know, some concern, as he kind of alluded to in the same interview with David Patrick. There was a little bit of concern there about the viewership numbers potentially going down. I think he said 25% because, you know, Heat, Nuggets, and all that whole conversation. Well, it does make sense for the NBA commissioner to speak, you know, more and more about the series, more and more about the game of basketball, to kind of bring more eyes to the game. I get it from that perspective. But, I mean, how many more times are we going to do this? And it's not just one question. I mean, he talked on the Dan Patrick show probably about 8 minutes about Ja Morant. And I get it. They're going to ask you about Ja. And even someone in the league office that I talked to about this, he even gets briefed on these things. You know, this is something that, you know, the communication staff, you know, with NBA, Adam Silver, they go through this stuff. And they know the Ja Morant questions will come and how to answer them, how to respond. So this is something he's kind of briefed on. So I don't think he's saying anything that he doesn't mean to say. But these kind of what he's hinting at, everything that he's saying is just kind of creating more and more conversation. It'd be different, Joe, if he was saying the same thing every time. We're reviewing it and we'll let you know after that. We're reviewing it and we'll find, you know, just in different ways. But each time, whether it was him saying, the players union is not directly involved, you know, in the decision, or it was him giving the timeline, saying, oh, it's going to happen after, you know, the NBA finals, or in the most recent one where he revealed probably the most information yet in terms of, oh, we don't want to just, you know, bring the hammer down on John, paraphrasing, but it sounds like he wants to do more of a program, do more of something that's less about just beating him down and more about, you know, helping him. As he said, John needs the players union's help. He needs the Grizzlies' help. He needs the people around him help. He's looking at it from that perspective. So all in all, again, as you alluded to earlier, I think the interview and what he said was really good. But if you want to hover on the fact that before game one, he said that he didn't want this to be a distraction. Oh, that's failed. Everyone's talking about it, and they're talking about it pretty much every day.
Yeah, he just needs to stop talking about it, like, or just announce it. One of the two.
Just go ahead and throw it out there, right?
Go ahead and put it out there. What the plan is, bing, bang, boom. The Grizzlies aren't going to have Ja Morant for 20 games. As part of that 20 games, he has to do A, B, C, and D. If he doesn't complete those four things by the time the 20th game suspension, he will not be able to return. If he does them in a timely manner, maybe he can get it reduced to 15. Like, something like that would make total sense.
Right.
And you have somebody that's in charge of the suspension and monitoring it. There's all sorts of different ways that this could go. And it sounds like that's the way, something like that is the way he's leaning. Cool. Good for you, Adam Silver. David Stern never would have done that in a million years. So kudos. Tip of the cap. Pat on the back. Your way. Just keep your mouth shut until you actually announce that. Stop talking about it because it's a distraction. You're doing the exact thing you said you weren't going to do. So Adam Silver, I know you listen to Locked On Grizzlies. You're an everydayer. I know it in my heart. I believe it firmly. Adam, it's your boy Joe. Stop talking about the Memphis Grizzlies. You and Kendrick Perkins, go do a spot on ESPN where you don't say a word about the Memphis Grizzlies. Talk about Nikola Jokic and how he might be the best center of all time. Talk about Jamal Murray and how he's having one of the best runs as a second star in the history of the NBA playoffs. Go talk about some. There's lots to talk about. The Denver Nuggets are super fun. You know who else is super fun? The Miami Heat. The ratings thing that DeMichael was talking about hasn't really manifested. No. The ratings are fine. Go pop a bottle of bubbly and shut the heck up.
In this the nice way.
No, not in the nice way. For me, DeMichael's the nice one. This episode of Locked On Grizzlies is brought to you by the good folks at Bird Dogs. And I know, DeMichael, you love Bird Dogs. We talked before the show if you wanted to do this read. And you know, I had to fight you for it, basically. That's how much DeMichael and I love Bird Dogs. They make you look good. Bird Dog shorts do exactly the same thing as Lululemon, but they fit way better. Like, they fit me really nicely. They fit DeMichael really nicely. We've compared our Bird Dogs, and they're impressive on both fronts. I can't speak for DeMichael looking at me. I know they're impressive, and I know DeMichael's are as well. You could obviously take advantage of the free gift tumbler. It's wonderful. You could go play a round of golf. You could go swimming. You could do all sorts of fun things. So go to birddogs.com/lockedonNBA and enter the promo code LockedOnNBA for a free Yeti-style tumbler with your order. Do you like your drinks nice and cold, nice and hot? Who doesn't? You get one for free while also getting some Bird Dogs coming your way. That's birddogs.com/lockedonNBA for a free Yeti-style tumbler. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off. We promise you. DeMichael and I don't. I can assure you of that. We're going to look to summer and all the kids around the country that are starting to get into their summer vacations next here on Locked On Grizzlies. Welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. I am one of your hosts, Joe Mullinax, joined by my co-host, DeMichael Cole of the Commercial Appeal there in Memphis, Tennessee. I, of course, of Bluff City Media. Between DeMichael and I, plenty of Grizzlies experience, plenty of Grizzlies content knowledge. You've come to the right place if you're looking for NBA and Memphis Grizzlies conversation and banter that will both make you slightly uncomfortable, like the Bird Dogs ad did a moment ago, and also enlighten your mind. So welcome. And if you're an everydayer, we appreciate you being with us each and every day. As I mentioned earlier in the show, I am a teacher by trade, and it is the end of the school year here in Virginia, where I reside. And obviously other places like Memphis and southern states have been out of school for a week or two, roughly. It's the end of the school year. It's the start of summer. Kids are excited. They're going to the pool. They don't have to go to school anymore. And that inspired me in my conversation with DeMichael leading up to the show to give the rest of the program a bit of a end of school twist. And the first piece of that is going to be summer school, something that is dastardly and evil in the minds of most children, But depending on the case-by-case basis, it can be really helpful for a young person getting caught up, trying to be prepared for the next grade level, whatever the case might be. So we're not necessarily going to talk about players like Jaren Jackson Jr. here. We know Jaren's going to work on his game. He's going to Team USA, like we talked about earlier in the week. This is more so the young guys, the younger players. And the name that I'm going to start off with here that I hope is hitting up some basketball summer school is Kenneth Lofton Jr. Because in my opinion, he's the one that's the easiest to waive if something big happens here in the next few weeks as the NBA draft approaches. And I know that's sacrilege on Grizzlies Twitter, Grizzlies internet forums. People love Kenneth Lofton Jr. He still can't defend his way out of a wet paper bag. It's bad. And as he develops in that way, I'm not saying he can't get better because he can.
Okay.
But the Grizzlies are deep in the front court, even with the Brandon Clark injury, assuming Steven Adams returns. And if he doesn't show a capacity, and he may not even get the opportunity to show it, depending on how the offseason goes, if he doesn't show that step-by-step progress through summer league, that he is in a position where he can be better as a defender, all the rebounding and scoring in the world is not going to do any good if he is a sieve on the defensive end. So I'm hopeful that Kenneth Lofton Jr. is going to defense school over the summer. What say you, partner?
Yeah, that'll be big for him, right? That's what Massive. Pretty much is keeping him off the floor. And there are some just natural limitations there as well. You know, we think of Desmond Bane with the wingspan, with Kenneth Lofton Jr., you know, him being pretty much a 6'7" center. You know, there are just certain things, you know, he has to depend more on his lower center gravity as opposed to other guys, you know, like Steven Adams, who can just put his hand in the air and say, move out of the way, little guy, and things like that. But you could probably guess which guy I'm going to start with, and that's Santi. You know, I've talked a lot about him recently because I offensively, I really think highly of this guy. I think Santi Aldama, once he just gets a feel offensively, more of a just a better feel and just a comfort level being in the NBA, and then he just gets stronger. He can be a really good scorer in this league with the shooting that he provides, with his ability to finish against mismatches in certain situations and things like that when he's put in the right positioning. I think all of that describes pretty much what he needs to work on this summer. The strength part, I think, will really help him on the defensive end. We've seen he has the ability to change shots, just not enough because guys are going straight into his chest and he's the one being pushed back. Now it's time to fight back on that. Now when guys hit you in the chest, they should be, you know, falling back like they're trying to flop, because Santi's got to get a little bit stronger. Once he gets stronger, I think that'll help him on the offensive end too. He has the ability to put the ball on the floor. You put a 6'6", 6'7" guy on him or lower, it should be easy money because he has the soft touch. He has the dribbling skills. You know, he's not one of those big men who, you know, has to immediately turn around and put it up over a little guy, because if he puts it on the floor, they're going to take it. That's not the case with Santi. Santi has a bag, and we saw parts of that bag this year. So I'm going to say Santi as one guy, and then I'll give you one more, but I'll let you
Sure. go. No, you go ahead. You can give me the last one. It's probably going to be the same.
You think so?
I don't think so. Let's hear it, partner.
Jake LaRavia.
I was going to say Jake LaRavia. See?
No way.
Mind melt.
You know what I think that is? I'm getting into your mind. I'm pushing I'm pushing the agenda a little bit more in your direction. The
Ravia narrative is being pushed by one to my poll.
It's coming. Now, the thing is, you know, with this guy, I remember before he played a game in a Grizzlies uniform, when he just played Summer League, I reached out to Steve Forbes. I've talked about this conversation several times before. We were talking. Steve Forbes was his college coach, for those who don't know. And Steve Forbes was telling me pretty much what the Grizzlies players were saying, you know, at Summer League. It's like, oh, I have to, you know, make this guy shoot the basketball. And they're like, shoot the basketball, shoot the basketball. Now you go back to the G League this season. He shoots over 7 3-point attempts per game. Now he needs that to translate over to the Grizzlies. And now it's just about, you know, he needs this summer school, so to speak, because he's going to need Summer League. He needs to be more aggressive. He needs to be more confident in his ability. No one is doubting his ability from what I've heard. Zach Kleiman brought him up unannounced. I believe it was Tyus Jones or Zaire Williams. Tyus Jones, I think it was, brought him up unannounced in exit interviews. Like, guys know that he has work. He has to show it, and we saw it was some injuries involved there. You remember the way he started the season, right? He was the highest three-point shooting rookie in the month of October, and then things tailed off from there. You know, I think he got hurt against the Kings or the game right before the Kings, and that's right. when things kind of just went in a downward spiral. But Jake Moravia is that guy for me because they're going to need those wings to step up minus Dylan Brooks, and he's one of those guys who can score. Imagine if his three-point profile translates to how people expect it, 36-37% three-point shooter on good volume, and you put that off the bench alongside of Luke Kennard, you got something cooking.
For the last 4 years, we've talked about how good the Memphis Grizzlies are at developing talent. We have spent, myself included, I might be the most guilty one, we have spent the last several months dreaming about Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby, all sorts of different names. DeMichael, I know you know this, but I'll reiterate for those watching and listening. The Grizzlies have multiple wings on the roster. They've got Zaire Williams. They've got Jake Laravia.
They got as many as Wing Guru. Wing Guru got as many wings as the Grizzlies.
Spicy. Give me the spiciest wings. This is one of those three, ideally, would be the replacement for Dylan. And to me, in terms of talent, in terms of what the team needs, Laravia theoretically makes a heck of a lot of sense. Now, theory and reality are two very different things, we have a long process to go. And it also would go against what Zach Kleiman has said publicly, right? Like, do we really need to triple down on youth? I do think a veteran move is coming, but Occam's Razor suggests the easiest thing is the thing that's going to happen, and the easiest thing, in my opinion, would be for Memphis to just kind of stand pat, you know, and just kind of see if one of these guys that's already on the roster would develop and be what they need to be. Maybe that's something that if the second team doesn't manifest in a trade, if the trade doesn't make sense, like we've heard Zach Kleiman talk about before, maybe that's where we wind up, and it's Jake Laravia starting next to John Morant, Desmond Bain, Luke Kennard, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Steven Adams come opening night. Because as we mentioned, safe to say something's going to happen to Joss discipline-wise. The question is what, and I'm sure Adam Silver will talk about how he's not going to tell us before Game 4 of the NBA Finals at some point. But anyway, we're going to end this episode of Locked On Grizzlies, again, keeping with the end of the school year theme. Memphis superlatives. I like superlatives. I think they're fun. We're going to liven it up a little bit here on Locked On Grizzlies. But first, this episode of Locked On Grizzlies is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook partner of Locked On. Make sure you're going to FanDuel and making a fast break there during these NBA playoffs. Right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. Woo, that is $2,000. $500 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. I got to tell you, I love watching the Denver Nuggets play. If I was in this boat, I would put a big old bet on the Denver Nuggets winning Game 4. And the beautiful thing about it is, again, it's a no-sweat first bet. You get up to $2,500 right back in bonus bets if your first one doesn't hit. There's great promotions like that each and every day with safe and secure app resources, and you can get paid instantly. There's no better place to bet the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon and get a no sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Most likely to be a professional wrestler? Which Memphis Grizzly is that? We'll talk about that next here on Locked On Grizzlies. Welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies, finishing up this Friday edition of the podcast. I am your co-host, Joe Mullinax, joined by the wonderful, the handsome, the white t-shirt, if you're watching on YouTube, DeMichael Cole of the Commercial Appeal there in Memphis, Tennessee. He is the Grizzlies beat writer for that publication. I am head of Grizzlies content over at Bluff City Media, at least for now. I'm told we're hiring somebody at some point, fingers crossed. The community mock draft just shot all the energy out of me, DeMichael. And we'll talk about the rest of my mock draft next week here on Locked On Grizzlies. But first, to end this episode, I think I mentioned it earlier in the show.
Let's do it. I have some fun.
As a staff member at the high school that I work at, I was voted most likely to host a podcast in our staff superlatives. Now, I don't go around bragging.
How do they know, Joe? Be honest. How do they know? How do they know?
If people Google me, like I'm a football coach,
yeah,
and I'm a teacher. But DeMichael, I'm not saying that you need to do this, and maybe our listeners can, and tell us what they find in the comments. The first thing that comes up is Memphis Grizzlies stuff. And people are like, is this the same dude? Because he lives in Virginia, and they don't know the whole story. And so safe enough, it comes out eventually. It's not like I hide it. It's, you know, it's my hobby. I literally coach football and teach, and my one hobby is hanging out with DeMichael and writing about the Memphis Grizzlies. That's what I do. I have no friends, and that's, you know, DeMichael's my friend, I hope.
Yeah, I'm your friend. You know
it. Oh. God, did you feel my desperation through the screen? Oh my god,
that would have been brutal. That would have been brutal. God. Turn the episode
I'm
off.
So glad. I'm so glad. Ooh, I was very vulnerable just now. That's the most vulnerable a Locked On podcast host has been. Before this goes completely off the rails, I like the idea of superlatives, and I thought that we could bring that to our final segment today. So here's my superlative that I thought of. It was Desmond Bane. And it was most likely to be a professional wrestler. Now, I don't think of this for Bane in terms of his personality. He's actually pretty laid back. I don't know that I can see a stone cold Desmond Bane kind of thing coming from him. It's more about the largest arms in the world, brother, right? Like Hulk Hogan, the 24-inch pythons. He's got the guns.
I think his finisher would be a suplex. I can see him doing a suplex. Sort of suplex.
Maybe like a buckshot lariat, like Hangman Page from AEW. I watch a lot of that's my other hobby is pro wrestling, but I digress. Something along those lines. What, you know, those arms, they may not be very long, but they're pretty stout in terms of their strength and size and width. So I think Bane would be most likely to be a professional wrestler if I had to pick a superlative. What about you, DeMichael?
Man, I got a couple of these, but
I like
I'll start off with we'll take it back to the high school, you know, the class clown.
Yeah, class clown.
And we'll do the team clown, clown of the Memphis Grizzlies.
And you would know this being in the locker room with these
being
guys.
Some of the things I see. and the answer is Steven Adams for this one. It's without a doubt. I mean, there are some funny guys on this team. But Steven Adams is by far the funniest. I'm just like, for me, I get the biggest laugh. You know, a lot of people get the biggest laugh out of Steven Adams with, you know, wardrobe, and there were some stare downs during the regular season, just randomly. This is when he was out at one point. He was doing a random timeout, probably second, third quarter, like nothing's happening. And I'm looking over at the Grizzlies bench just like always. And next thing you know, Steven Adams just lock eyes with me. And, you know, I'm thinking he's a normal person. So he'll just look down and, you know, keep doing whatever he was doing, looking into the store sheet. But then he just keeps looking at me. And he just keeps looking at me. And it becomes a staring match.
Oh,
and I'm like, I start laughing because it's, you know, it's a joke to me. And he's still looking at me like, I don't see anything funny. And now I'm like, all right, Steven, like, what did you read? What did I do? Like, but then there's the more laid back version inside the locker room, right? You would not believe that this guy, I've heard this guy in the locker room singing Chris Brown songs. I mean, the versatility to country, to Chris Brown, to Chief Keef. I mean, he was singing the Chris Brown song, Under the Influence. You know, it's the song where he goes like, rubber tussin. I know why it got me feeling lazy, right? Like, he was singing it out. And, like, John Morant's like, sing, Steve-O. And, like, everyone's just laughing. And then there's another day he comes in, he sings Chief Keef, which is, like, more like the rap, like, younger guys. Like, right, Steven Adams, he's like, it's funny because you wouldn't imagine, you know, him being this guy if you didn't know he was. But if you know he is, it's no surprise. So, Team Clown, 100% Steven Adams.
I like that choice. I like that a lot. And Steven Adams definitely gives off that vibe of being someone that would come in and know a musician that you definitely wouldn't think he would know. Like, I always blow my students' minds going back to people not knowing my Memphis connection with my knowledge of Memphis hip-hop rappers, right? Like, you know, Glorilla. Like, why in the world does Coach Mullinax know who that person is? It doesn't make sense in their teenage brains. But obviously, with my Memphis connection, I keep up with Memphis rap and music and, you know, NBA Youngboy and all that kind of stuff. Moneybag Yo. Like, the fact that I say Moneybag Yo out loud, it just makes their eyes go cross. But what was your last one?
My last one, what was it? It was, playing off of most likely to succeed.
Oh, I like
but that. But I took it as most likely to become an NBA head coach. I wonder what you think on this one too. But I'm gonna say Tyus Jones.
Yeah.
For this. I think Tyus Jones, he knows how to take care of the basketball. Mm-hmm. He's great off the floor. He has the whole family man thing. He's a two-time dad now. He keeps things in order, and he's very mild-mannered. He can handle the scrutiny that comes. You know, a lot of the Grizzlies players, as we've seen, you know, some of them don't take scrutiny very well from time to time. But Tyus Jones, so many times during this season, after big losses, you knew you could just walk up to Tyus and say, hey, Tyus, just talk to me about a couple things. He's great with that. He's great from a social perspective. You think about a guy like Monty Williams. I mean, of course, with any head coach, you think of the X and O's. But I think of Monty Williams, when you think of him, as opposed to maybe Taylor Jenkins, I guess. He's more of that guy, like after a big loss or something, you see a viral message, you know, go. You've seen those with Monty Williams, right? Where he's in the locker room, he's like, the water is still at surface level after a 39-point loss. And it's like, wow. Bro, what a word from Monty. But Tyus, I can see Tonti. I can see Tyus being that type of guy. Mm-hmm. And of course, he's a point guard as well. I think Jaren would be really good in the front office. But that's
agreed.
What do you think?
I agree completely. I love the idea of Jaren as a front office guy. I think that's exactly right. And I do think that the coaching one, point guards make a lot of sense in that role because they're already kind of that guy on the floor.
Yeah. Right? That was the easy way out, right?
Yeah, well, I think that's a good choice, though, for this team and that's something that, you know, we talk a lot about trading Tyus to get the wing starter. And again, I'm the most guilty of that, perhaps. They're going to miss that, right? Like, that is going to be something they miss. And how much that matters will be interesting to watch play out if and when Tyus does get traded, because of his ability to make the right decision with the basketball. It is Jokic-esque in terms of, he doesn't have the skill that Jokic does, but in terms of making the right reads, that's what I'm referencing. That particular aspect. You don't
He's led the league in assist to turnover ratio. Yeah.
Right. And that's the evidence that backs up. Mm-hmm. People are going to hear that and be like, what do you mean he's Jokic?
He's the standard.
And that particular thing, making the right play, when Tyus Jones turns the basketball over, it stands out. It blows your mind that it occurred. So that is what I mean. I think he'd be a great coach in that way, helping a young team be able to see the floor, understand defensive coverage, making the right decision. How he communicates that, you would be a better person to talk to since you've had those conversations. But it sounds like we're on the same page. I'm with you on Tyus as a future head coach. Hopefully you guys had some fun. Maybe leave your Memphis superlatives in the comments. Maybe we can touch on them on Monday's episode if we agree or disagree with whatever ideas you may have. And shout out to me being the most likely to host a podcast. Right on the nose. I nailed it. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Locked On Grizzlies. Free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Check us out on YouTube. Like, comment, rate, review, subscribe. All of those fun things. The next time we're together will be on Monday's episode. We probably should check in on the NBA Finals, see how things are going between the Nuggets and the Heat. And DeMichael, I don't know if you know this or not, but the NBA draft is like 2 weeks away-ish. So we probably need to start doing some player profile.
It's about time
to start diving in at 25.
I saw a tweet from you yesterday, and I think we got a prospect in mind that we both like. But we'll get there.
Sounds like a good idea. For Monday's episode. So hope you'll be there with us talking with DeMichael and I as we take a look at what is ahead for the Memphis Grizzlies in the NBA draft. And again, check in on the NBA final, see how the Nuggets and the Heat are doing. For the wonderful DeMichael Cole, I am Joe Mullinax. I hope you have a safe and fun-filled weekend and that you'll be right back here with us on Monday for another episode of Locked On Grizzlies, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Check us out on YouTube. Like, comment, rate, review, subscribe. Until next time. Stay locked in.